Date is the 22nd of August 1994. This is a series of brief interviews with senior staff of the City of Berwick, looking at the broad perspectives of the city's history. This is the third interview with Mr. Ron Chichi, who is the Manager Technical Services. Yes, if we could start with when you started work with the
city. I started on the 5th of August 1974. So I've been here just over 20 years. Before that, I worked for 5 years with the City of Doncaster and Templestowe.
Did you know Max Borsi?
Yes. Max wasn't there when I was there, but he was a bit of a living legend. He used to pop in from Preston or Coburg or wherever he was at the time. Mm. Max left Doncaster 69, 68, one about then.
All right.
But he had left his mark, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah. And what sort of plan decisions do you remember from those early years that you think have been significant in the development?
I think from engineering point of view, definitely the linking court heads, all the linking court heads in Endeavour Hills
are
very good. Well, they're a case where if you have a school or a preschool, you have walkways which go from most of the residential areas centering towards the school, so that if children are to go to school, maybe they have to cross one main road, but that'd be all. And you're able to get through various parts of the whole estate without going out onto the roads, but being able to link between court to court via reserves. And while they've been something which has been a problem for us to maintain ever since, and it's always been a problem as to who should mow them, and we keep telling the people it's their responsibility and they keep saying it's ours, but apart from that sort of thing, it's for integrating or combining a community together, they've been very good.
So this is part of the cell plan approach?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And started with Endeavour Hills Estate. And it's been the main one which has had that. Fountain Gate Estate with the Radburn design, town planning, with all the parks at the back and the houses supposedly facing onto the parks and not onto the roads has been a good idea. But that started in the Shire times, not in the city's time. Another thing which was very good was setting back of residential estates so that when it came time to duplicate, there was land set aside. And Max Pawsey was very good in getting that in Endeavour Hills. Both the north and south side of Heverton Road were set back so as to allow for road widening when it came along.
So this is planning for the
future duplication. Yes, for the arterial roads and just about our whole network has been planned for as far as requiring setbacks. And save the City of Berwick millions of dollars by requiring the subdividers to set back at the time they did it. That was a major development.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the cell plans are a major feature of how things have developed out here as opposed to other places?
Yes. Two things have been major in that area. One has been having cell plans, mm-hmm. and the second thing has been the size of the developments. When I was at Doncaster, most of the developments were very small. You would have been 20 to 30 lot developments. Mm-hmm. But out here, they're 200 or 300 lot, or Endeavour Hills, which is, 5,000 lots or something like that. When you get a huge development by the one developer, you're able to tie it all together. When you've got a series of small ones, it's very hard to get it together. Even with a cell plan, it's hard.
Yeah.
People, if you have a whole series of courts, you have an arterial road and a whole series of courts going in, and no linkage between them. But having the cell plans and the large development areas meant we were able to have communities which didn't rely on the arterial road for inter-community use.
So then you get basic infrastructure within that cell plan?
As far as the schools are concerned, the shops, the reserves next to the schools, preschools near the schools, all of this thing we've done very well. Just about every major development area has that sort of a setup with a school, a preschool, infant welfare centre and a reserve all very close together. So then everything can be used all week, not just for weekends.
Right. Other planning decisions, like I know underground power is always cited.
Oh, underground, yes, that's right, that's right. I think we just take that for granted. If you come from some other organisation, if you come from, say, Croydon or Ringwood or something like that, you would notice that there's not the great big concrete poles in the residential areas, but I think we just take it for granted. We have lots of tree planting And it changes the area totally, yes. Mm. Yes. But we just live with that. We take that as something we just have. Yeah,
so that then allows you to plant a lot of lot more street trees and that.
Yes.
Less maintenance.
No, I'd say probably not. Probably more maintenance as far as looking after trees are concerned. It's also a bit of a problem because of the number of trees. Street lighting becomes a problem. You get the more developed areas and the trees start to block out the lights. But generally it gives a much nicer approach and the residential areas look much better.
What about planning for the hilltops? I know some have been left.
Alexander Reserve and Endeavour Hills. There's quite a few in the Berwick area. Yes, I think that's a good idea. That was a Max Pawsey idea, I believe, or one that Max is a person I've heard say how good it is. And I think it's true. I think it's much better to have trees at the top of your hills rather than houses. Mm. I think another thing in the planning area, which I feel personally is very good, is tree reserves, which restrict access from the residential area onto the arterial roads. I feel that as years go by, instead of being able to drive straight out of a house into a major arterial road, most of the major subdivisions have a tree reserve between the road and the houses, so you can't drive out of your house block onto the main road. You have to go into a residential street and around a series of other streets from back here. Think of your Waverley roads, Springvale roads, most of the major roads around, they've all got houses, little driveways coming out, and that makes it very hard to use those roads. Mm. And I feel as years go by, it will be seen as being a major thing that we have in the city of Berwick.
Mm. Right. Anything else along those sorts of lines that you can think of?
I think in the planning area we've always been able to get ourselves land for new buildings, which has been my major problem. We've always had sites which have been suitable for preschools, for infant welfare centres, plenty of sporting areas for ovals and rectangles and what have you need in those areas. Mainly the preschools have been pretty important. I don't know of us buying a site, and I suppose there have been some, but mostly they've been set aside as part of the development.
So what would you nominate as the sorts of highlights of the development of the city that come to mind for
when
you?
When I first came, and I've just written down a few figures which I had here, when I first started here we had 104 kilometres of unsealed roads, and they were all major roads, they weren't any private streets, and Max Pawsey had the idea that we should get rid of those, and in the first 5 years of the city we constructed 21 kilometres of unsealed roads. So we went from 104 down to 80-something, and we're down to about 60-something now. So since 1980, we've only sealed about 20, but between 74 and 80, we also sealed 20. In the first year, in 75, 76, we constructed 10.5 kilometres of roads, and that was a lot of work. That was something that none of us were really used to, having produced plans, and so as soon as you finished the drawing, it was outside, and people were building. Excuse me.
Are there any other statistical changes that come to mind that you recollect?
I suppose the main thing is the number of people. Mm. I suppose just generally the way we work. I remember reading when I started here that there was somewhere just over 20,000 people, and now of course there's 85,000 to 90,000, and that's been enormous growth over 20 years. Mm. I think we've catered for people fairly well. We've always taken people's queries, phone calls, coming to the front counter. We've always handled that very seriously, and we've always been very keen to help people out and to keep them well informed. Mm. And I think as a council we've done a very good job in that sort of an area. That's why we're now looking so well with people in our community liaison and public relations areas. And keeping the people of the city informed. The growth in roads, as I said before, was just incredible, and we had a lot of work in that area. We would have plans for roads on the drawing board one day, and there'd be graders and dozers out building them the next. It was just incredible. A fair few of the roads that we did build had been designed at the Shire, but just been sitting in cupboards and they'd never come along and built the roads, but there was also a lot that we had to design ourselves. when we came here, it was a major thing, a change of our office and design of all the areas out here, the Patrick North East Reserve with the lake and the car parks and Magic Drive and the intersection with the highway was a major part of our works, which we designed and constructed ourselves. Living in the old office was interesting when we were in the Vic Roads office and we had the little site sheds and things and our artiscape, which we still use today, to produce plans for council reports we had, and it used to live in a little shed and the operator used to go in there first thing in the morning, we wouldn't see him until the end of the day, and there'd be strange odours coming out. I'm not too sure what he was smoking in there, but put himself away and had an enjoyable time. I think that's another thing, just talking in the cartography area, the base maps which we've produced and used have been of very high standard. Anywhere we show them, and now that we're phasing them out and we're going to the GIS, people are amazed to see what sort of maps we have and we've been using and the high standard that they have. And while they're produced under fairly primitive conditions as far as a building goes, the actual equipment we had was very good and was way up to its time when we first started with the artiscope. And having John Skirman doing those maps too has been a great assistance to us.
I've heard it said that Pat North East always used to say, if you're going to build a public building, don't just build a box, do something a bit interesting with it.
Right, that's very true. Public buildings, we've tried to do two things, or probably three things. We've always tried to make them affordable, which we have to do to get a Guernsey in the budget. We've tried to make them multi-use. Always we've tried to convince more than one group that they should be able to use those buildings. We're putting community rooms in with preschools and welfare centres so that play groups and people like that can come along and use them. Our community centres like Brentwood and Timbara have been way ahead of their time for the multi-purpose. Multi-purpose room, the four-core one up at Endeavour Hills Leisure Centre, have all been parts of ideas we've had to try and make things as flexible as possible. And a little bit of architectural flair, as you say. Mm. We're lucky enough to get Joe Smits and he came straight off the aeroplane and came to work with us in one of the unemployment schemes and stayed for almost 20 years and designed between 60 and 70 buildings and always had his own bit of flair about it. And I think our buildings are quite acceptable. And when you look around some other municipalities, their buildings are just boxes. They're architecturally very basic. But ours at least have some sort of architectural flair.
I was always impressed at the way... Was it Joe who turned the petrol station into Dufton Library?
Yes, the Dufton Library, the Libratorium. And that was amazing because that was just your basic core petrol station with a service area and the pumps and things, and basically pulled all the outside out of it and added a bit to it and turned it into a library. And unless you knew that, you would never realise that that's what happened.
Are there any other buildings that he designed that come to mind that were... Do you think that was his most innovative effort?
Or probably was. We've got the Kentucky Fried Chicken preschool with the Kentucky roof and the shingles on. We built that a lot of times. Mansfield Street.
Were you actually turning?
It's not a Kentucky Fried place. But the shape of the building, it's fairly square and it has a pointed roof like a Kentucky Fried one, but never had the red and white stripes or anything on it. But I think we built that about four or five times, that same design, just rotated so that it faced the right way. A very nice building. Became too expensive eventually and we had to change our standard design.
Anything else, any other of the public buildings that struck you in some way or another?
Oh, I think that probably Joe's, the Brentwood Community Centre, as I said before, was a very good building. Child care centres that Joe designed. We opened the second. We were the second one to finish our design and build it and have it open. The one at Endeavour Hills in Moss Hill Park under state government scheme for child care centres. Very rigid design parameters that Joe had to work with, and he was able to go through them all and come out with an excellent building. That's the one up in Oban Close. An Aboriginal name which you'll have to look up.
Two other things come to mind at this stage. One is the council's work during the Ash Wednesday bushfires. Was council very much involved?
Council was extremely involved. Mm. I suppose Ash Wednesday is a day that none of us will ever forget, that we're here. Just incredible what involvement we did have. Incredible as to how it just took the corner of this municipality and went into Pakenham. We were all, probably just about all of us were at some stage in the Shire of Pakenham on that evening. I know I was in Upper Beaconsfield, and the fire went past Upper Beaconsfield while we were there, and we came out behind it before the wind changed and took the fire back up through Upper Beaconsfield. We were involved in helping get people out of Salisbury House, which was an old people's home there, and we took them up to Emerald. We had a lot of cars which were in various places, and we had our radio operating all the time, and I spent a lot of time back in this office with Max Pawsey and finding out where our vehicles were and what was happening. But, I think the work that was done by the City of Berwick in the Shire of Pakenham and also in our own municipality, you could never add up the cost. It was just enormous. We did very little of our normal work, but a lot of work assisting. Oh, I suppose just about everybody for a week or more. But with the cleaning up of the houses in Upper Beaconsfield and the taking of the rubbish to the landfill, that went on for probably, well, it's hard to say, another month, I suppose.
So Berwick helped Pakenham?
Yes, yes, we had our trucks up there. Len Thomas went round just about every house site with people, looking through them, deciding that they didn't want to go through the ruins anymore, and then loading them up onto trucks and bringing them down to Narrewarren to the landfill. And that was a very hard job for Len, and Len was up there for a long time.
Mm. You see, I can't leave things like that out.
No.
You know,
well, that's something. Yeah, something else that you jogged my mind of, which is good. With Upper Beaconsfield, Joe Smith's designed the preschool up there. It was burnt down, and straight away after it was burnt, we had meetings with the committee. We did a redesign for it, or it was a total new design because the old one was totally destroyed. And prepared the plans, which they then let out and reconstructed. So very rarely is somebody involved in designing a building for an adjacent municipality.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done in very, very quick time.
Mm. I understand you've been very involved with the Wilson Botanic Park project. Do you remember when that started and how it got going?
Yes, I remember going to Wilson Park in the very early times when it was still being used as a quarry. There was, they were still blasting, and I think actual quarrying operations ended about 77, 78. It used to cause a lot of trouble with the people on the hill in Berwick because houses were being built there also. Mm. And every now and then there'd be a big bang, you'd come out of the quarry and everyone would ring up. And Max Pawsey, I think, became a bit concerned about all this, or maybe became a bit sick of it all. Because when everyone rang, we had to write down the time, and they'd tell us what time the blast went off, and we'd report it to the mining people. After that, about 78, when all the quarrying ended, they still used it as a store. They made up a big store of crushed rock, and the trucks used to go in there and take it out for another couple of years. But it would have been the early 80s that Max Pawsey and Jan Bateman got together and decided that we should be looking at a botanic park. And Max, I think, had also been involved in the creation of one at Doncaster, though no work had ever taken place. And when I was there, they first started planting trees on a site for a botanic park. And Max felt that municipalities of our size should have a botanic park, and Jan Bateman did also. So Max decided that the best site would be Wilson Park. And of course, Wilson Park, the front half, had been transferred, I think it's the best word, to the Shire of Berwick, from George Wilson, or by George Wilson, in the early 70s, on the condition that it be used as a park, because he'd been over to Vancouver Island and had seen Bouchard Garden and decided that the quarry over there had been turned into beautiful gardens, and that the same thing could happen here. So in the early 70s, the Shire of Berwick took control of the front half, but we didn't have the back half. Sorry, took control of the back half, but we didn't have the front half. The back half was the George Wilson half. And we had plans and things to develop the back half, but we always knew that the major problem would be getting access to it. And we had access off the subdivision at the back through Bourne Vale Drive, but we felt to develop it properly we really had to have highway frontage. So when Cyril Molyneux was mayor, we decided the time had come to put it on. Well, we had the site as our number one project for the 150th anniversary of Victoria, and we felt that it would be best if we obtained the front half as well. And the front half was owned by the other half of the Wilson family. And so Cyril and Pat North East decided it was time that we went and tried to purchase the front half of the quarry, which was just sitting there, wasn't being used for anything at all. All quarrying had ceased, and it was just a block of land. It had had at one stage a permit as a landfill, but that had never gone ahead. And I don't think it ever actually would have got ahead because of the people who had actually moved in and lived around the outskirts of it. So Pat North East, Cyril Molyneux, myself and John McCaffrey went up to, or past Mansfield, to a place called Pirie's, on halfway between Mansfield and Chamerson. And we went and saw the majority owner of the other half of the family. And I think there was four of them who actually owned it, but the main man was chap whose name I'll think of in a minute. But we went and saw him, and he's got a quarry up there himself. He's got a big farm. He really wasn't concerned with a hole in the ground in Berwick, and really all he was concerned with was getting something out of the council. And eventually we managed to come to an agreement from him that we'd purchase the front half of the quarry for a figure which was somewhere around about $300,000, but we'd paid off over 10 years, which we thought was quite a good deal, and it then gave us a chance to come in off the highway and to build our gates and main driveway and do everything that we imagined. So for the 150th anniversary of Victoria, we had a small ceremony there. We did a little bit of work for that. Our main project for the 150th was up at George Alexander Reserve in Dever Hills, where we did works there.
James
Alexander. Doing well. Ex-council, you hate me too. Then, of course, the next thing was the bicentenary, and we progressed from there as our major project for the Bicentenary of Australia was the first stages of Wilson Botanic Park. And, of course, you know, very exciting. And my philosophy is that we should be looking after the people today, but we should also be providing things for the future. We shouldn't forget the people of the future, and if we can be working now, even though it may take 100 years to finish the park, and it could very easily, we're doing something now which can provide for the people of the future. And thankfully, ever since then, councils believe that too and has kept putting money aside every year to help with Wilson Park. And there's other things, I think. You know, the Wilson Park has been one thing which has been great for the city, but the cheese factory and Myuna Farm, the police paddocks, these sort of areas are areas where council has responsibility to be looking after maintaining things from the past and providing things for the future.
What sort of work's been going on with the police paddocks?
Police paddocks is a bit slow, but we are tidying it up. It's much cleaner than it was. It was, when we took over, there was just basically a dumping ground for rubbish. There were more car bodies there than anything else. But we've tidied all that up now. We've fenced the area off so people don't just go and dump their rubbish there. We're cleaning up all the blackberries. We're getting rid of all the non-Indigenous plants, all the weeds and things we're killing off. And we're prepared a master plan. The master plan will be on public review within the next month, and once the master plan's completed, we can then start works on heading towards that. So that's another long-term project, but it's retaining something in our municipality which otherwise could have been lost. And we also have the assistance of the Aboriginals there, and that's been an exciting part of that project, to let them be involved, and they're very keen to see it take off and develop some sort of heritage centre for them also.
Anything else like that comes to mind? You know, the things that stand out in your mind? Were you involved in renovating the cheese factory?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, that was excellent too. I've been on the committee of the cheese factory since it was started, an advisory committee. Major works in the old cheese factory part. When we first got it, the upstairs section was just totally disrepair, very dangerous to go up there. One of our engineers, Robert Spark, was responsible for restoring all that. And, with the, Baltic pine. He was able to get Baltic pine floorboards. Restored all the top half, fixed up all the fireplaces, and that's really something special to me because my father-in-law, who was a bricklayer, was involved in restoring the fireplaces. And the bricks in the half of the fireplace aren't mortared in. They're all angled bricks, and they just sit there under their own weight because of the way they're all keyed in. And he was able to restore all that. He was also able to restore the fireplace and the mantelpiece in the servants' quarters, and did the brickwork there. So that's something that we showed a lot of interest in. The staircase was constructed by Hayden Merry, who was our carpenter at the time, and he did an excellent job restoring the internal staircase up to the second floor of the cheese factory, and then we constructed the external one, which wasn't part of the original building. We designed the reception centre, that was done in our office here by our architect, or Paul Usatoff, who was here helping Joe, and he was sort of an assistant architect, but he's now a fully qualified architect. And he designed the reception centre, and it had to be designed exactly in character with the servants' quarters and the main house and the cheese factory itself, and we believe we've done a very good job on that, and that matched in very well. But a lot of people giving us a hard time as to how we should do it, but the design, I believe most people who wouldn't know would believe it was part of the original out there. That's very satisfying. Mm. Another thing which we did, and that sort of thing Joe Smith did, was the extension to the old Church of Christ in High Street in Berwick. We put a toilets and small change area on the side, and Joe designed that to match in with the original building, and that's been quite successful too, and that matches him very well.
Anything else that you can think of before you collapse? The sort of a perspective over the 21 years, the way that you see it having developed?
Oh, I think that in our area, as far as engineering's concerned, I suppose really the major thing we've always had at the City of Berwick is that all departments have got on very well together. We've all worked very well together. All the officers in all departments have always been very easy to get on with and very helpful in all areas. And this has made it possible for all the preschools we've built, and we're still averaging about one a year, I think, on preschools. The infant welfare centres, the sports grounds, the pavilions, our leisure centres, our community centres and the childcare centres. We've always had a lot of assistance from the community services people in getting grants and with the designs, and it's always been our way of doing things that we like to talk to the user groups. We've always had meetings and asked them what they wanted, what they saw as their main needs were in the new buildings, and try to build buildings for them that they can use. And I think we've been fairly successful in that area. It's hard to know what's needed for the future, but if you at least talk to the user groups, they have some idea as to what's needed. And the preschool directresses, and you never allow them to choose colours because they're terrible in colours, but as far as what's needed inside the buildings, that's fine. And we've tried to come up with designs that's been user-friendly in that way. I think that we've been able to achieve so much, as I say, because of the assistance of all departments working together. We've never had conflict and everyone's tried to help. What we've built for the people of the municipality has always been something that's needed and can be useful. And I think as a council we've provided a lot of facilities for people, and that's always been our endeavour. We're local government, we're here for the people, and they're our bosses. We've always worked very hard to achieve what we can.
A higher than normal level of facilities? I mean, how does it compare with other councils, is it?
I think it is. With the growth we've had, it's always been hard to keep the facilities with the people. people have all moved out from areas where they've had facilities close at hand, but I believe that probably we've got a higher proportion of preschools and community facilities, infant welfare centres, sports grounds, building new pavilions sort of sooner than you would see it in other places. I think we've done very well in that area, the amount of money. Pat Northeast was always keen that we borrow as much as we can and provide the facilities now for when the people want them and can use them. And that's a good philosophy. When you've got a growing council like we have, a growing area, it always gets easier to pay off those sort of debts. There's no way known you could have a no loans policy under these conditions. And why should the people of today be saving up for something that the people of tomorrow to use? When you build something today and you build with loan funds, as it's being used, it's being paid for. And that's the right philosophy as far as I'm concerned. And we've had that philosophy and that's been good.
Anything else about the philosophy of how the council works and structure?
Oh, I think that Pat Northeast and Max Porty and Neil and Ross have always been I've always been very good to work with. We've always worked very well together. They've been leaders in true sense. They've had the right ideas. They've led the council, and the council have never interfered with how officers do things. They've always paid